Spiritual Exercises. To conquer oneself and regulate one's life without determining oneself through any tendency that is disordered. Presupposition. In order that both he who is giving the spiritual exercises and he who is receiving them may more help and benefit themselves, let it be presupposed that every good Christian is to be more ready to save his neighbor's proposition than to condemn it. If he cannot save it, let him inquire how he means it, and if he means it badly, let him correct him with charity. If that is not enough, let him seek all the suitable means to bring him to mean it well and save himself. First week, principle and foundation. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man, and that they may help him in prosecuting the end for which he is created. From this it follows that man is to use them as much as they help him unto his end, and ought to rid himself of them so far as they hinder him as to it. For this it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things and all that is allowed to the choice of our free will and is not prohibited to it, so that, on our part, we want not health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, long rather than short life, and so in all the rest, desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end for which we are created. Particular and daily examen. It contains in it three times, and two to examine oneself. The first time is in the morning, immediately on rising, when one ought to propose to guard himself with diligence against that particular sin or defect which he wants to correct and amend. The second time is after dinner, when one is to ask of God our Lord what one wants, namely, grace to remember how many times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect, and to amend himself in the future. Then let him make the first exam, asking account of his soul of that particular thing proposed, which he wants to correct and amend. Let him go over hour by hour or period by period, commencing at the hour he rose and continuing up to the hour and instant of the present exam, and let him make in the first line of the G as many dots as were the times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect. Then let him resolve anew to amend himself up to the second exam which he will make. The third time. After supper, the second exam will be made in the same way, hour by hour, commencing at the first exam and continuing up to the present, second one, and let him make in the second line of the same G as many dots as were the times he has fallen into that particular sin or defect. Four additions. Follow to rid oneself sooner of that particular sin or defect. First addition. The first addition is that each time one falls into that particular sin or defect, let him put his hand on his breast, grieving for having fallen, which can be done even in the presence of many, without their perceiving what he is doing. Second addition. The second, as the first line of the G, means the first exam, and the second line the second exam, let him look at night if there is amendment from the first line to the second, that is, from the first examine into the second. Third addition. The third. To compare the second day with the first, that is, the two exams of the present day with the other two exams of the previous day, and see if he has amended himself from one day to the other. Fourth addition. The fourth addition. To compare one week with another, and see if he has amended himself in the present week over the week past. General examen of conscience. To purify oneself and to make one's confession better. I presuppose that there are three kinds of thoughts in me. That is, one my own, which springs from my mere liberty and will, and two others, which come from without, one from the good spirit and the other from the bad. Thought. There are two ways of meriting in the bad thought which comes from without, namely, first way, a thought of committing a mortal sin which thought I resist immediately and it remains conquered. Second way, the second way of meriting is, when that same bad thought comes to me and I resist it, and it returns to me again and again, and I always resist until it is conquered. This second way is more meritorious than the first. A venial sin is committed when the same thought comes of sinning mortally and one gives ear to it, making some little delay or receiving some sensual pleasure, or when there is some negligence in rejecting such thought. There are two ways of sinning mortally. First way. The first is when one gives consent to the bad thought, to act afterwards as he has consented, or to put it in act if he could. Second way. The second way of sinning mortally is when that sin is put in act. This is a greater sin for three reasons. First, because of the greater time. Second, because of the greater intensity. Third, because of the greater harm to the two persons. Word, one must not swear, either by creator or creature, if it be not with truth, necessity, and reverence. By necessity I mean not when any truth whatever is affirmed with oath, but when it is of some importance for the good of the soul, or the body, or for temporal goods. By reverence I mean when, in naming the Creator and Lord, one acts with consideration, so as to render him the honor and reverence due. It is to be noted that, though in an idle oath one sins more when he swears by the Creator than by the creature, it is more difficult to swear in the right way with truth, necessity, and reverence by the creature than by the Creator, for the following reasons. First, reason. The first, when we want to swear by some creature, wanting to name the creature does not make us so attentive or circumspect as to telling the truth, or as to affirming it with necessity, as would wanting to name the Lord and Creator of all things. Second reason. The second is that in swearing by the creature, it is not so easy to show reverence and respect to the Creator, as in swearing and naming the same Creator and Lord, because wanting to name God our Lord brings with it more respect and reverence than wanting to name the created thing. Therefore, swearing by the creature is more allowable to the perfect than to the imperfect, because the perfect, through continued contemplation and enlightenment of intellect, consider, meditate, and contemplate more that God our Lord is in every creature, according to his own essence, presence, and power. And so, in swearing by the creature, they are more apt and prepared than the imperfect to show respect and reverence to their Creator and Lord. Third reason. The third is that in continually swearing by the creature, idolatry is to be more feared in the imperfect than in the perfect. One must not speak an idle word. By idle word, I mean one which does not benefit either me or another, and is not directed to that intention. Hence, words spoken for any useful purpose, or meant to profit one's own or another's soul, the body or temporal goods, are never idle, not even if one were to speak of something foreign to one's state of life, as, for instance, if a religious speaks of wars or articles of trade. But in all that is said, there is merit in directing well, and sin in directing badly, or in speaking idly. Nothing must be said to injure another's character or to find fault, because if I reveal a mortal sin that is not public, I sin mortally, if a venial sin, venially, and if a defect, I show a defect of my own. But if the intention is right, in two ways, one can speak of the sin or fault of another. First way. The first, when the sin is public, as in the case of a public prostitute, and of a sentence given in judgment, or of a public error which is infecting the souls with whom one comes in contact. Second way. Second, when the hidden sin is revealed to some person that he may help to raise him who is in sin, supposing, however, that he has some probable conjectures or grounds for thinking that he will be able to help him. ACT. Taking the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the Church, and the recommendations of superiors, every act done against any of these three heads is, according to its greater or less nature, a greater or a lesser sin. By recommendations of superiors, I mean such things as bulls de crusadas and other indulgences, as, for instance, for peace, granted under condition of going to confession and receiving the Blessed Sacrament. For one commits no little sin in being the cause of others acting contrary to such pious exhortations and recommendations of our superiors, or in doing so oneself. Method for making the general examine. It contains in it 5 points. First point. The first point is to give thanks to God our Lord for the benefits received. Second point. The second, to ask grace to know our sins and cast them out. Third point. The third, to ask account of our soul from the hour that we rose up to the present exam, hour by hour or period by period, and first as to thoughts, and then as to words, and then as to acts, in the same order as was mentioned in the particular exams. Fourth point. The fourth, to ask pardon of God our Lord for the faults. Fifth point, the fifth, to purpose amendment with His grace, our Father, general confession with communion. Whoever of his own accord wants to make a general confession will, among many other advantages, find three in making it here. First, the first, though whoever goes to confession every year is not obliged to make a general confession, by making it there is greater profit and merit because of the greater actual sorrow for all the sins and wickedness of his whole life. Second, the second. In the spiritual exercises, sins and their malice are understood more intimately than in the time when one was not so giving himself to interior things. Gaining now more knowledge of and sorrow for them, he will have greater profit and merit than he had before. Third, the third is, in consequence, having made a better confession and being better disposed, one finds himself in condition and prepared to receive the blessed sacrament, the reception of which is an aid not only not to fall into sin, but also to preserve the increase of grace. This general confession will be best made immediately after the exercises of the first week. First exercise, it is a meditation with the three powers, on the first, the second, and the third sin. It contains in it, after one preparatory prayer and two preludes, three chief points and one colloquy. Prayer. The preparatory prayer is to ask grace of God our Lord that all my intentions, actions, and operations may be directed purely to the service and praise of His Divine Majesty. First Prelude. The first prelude is a composition, seeing the place. Here it is to be noted that, in a visible contemplation or meditation, as, for instance, when one contemplates Christ our Lord, who is visible, the composition will be to see with the sight of the imagination the corporeal place where the thing is found, which I want to contemplate. I say the corporeal place, as for instance, a temple or mountain where Jesus Christ or Our Lady is found, according to what I want to contemplate, in an invisible contemplation or meditation, as here on the sins, the composition will be to see with the sight of the imagination and consider that my soul is imprisoned in this corruptible body and all the compound in this valley, as exiled among brute beasts. I say, all the compound of soul and body. Second prelude. The second is to ask God our Lord for what I want and desire. The petition has to be according to the subject matter. That is, if the contemplation is on the resurrection, one is to ask for joy with Christ in joy. If it is on the passion, he is to ask for pain, tears, and torment with Christ in torment. Here, it will be to ask shame and confusion at myself, seeing how many have been damned for only one mortal sin, and how many times I deserve to be condemned forever for my so many sins. Note. Before all contemplations or meditations, there ought always to be made the preparatory prayer, which is not changed, and the two preludes already mentioned, which are sometimes changed according to the subject matter. First point. The first point will be to bring the memory on the first sin, which was that of the angels, and then to bring the intellect on the same, discussing it. Then the will, wanting to recall and understand all this in order to make me more ashamed and confound me more, bringing into comparison with the one sin of the angels my so many sins, and reflecting, while they for one sin were cast into hell, how often I have deserved it for so many. I say to bring to memory the sin of the angels, how they, being created in grace, not wanting to help themselves with their liberty, to reverence and obey their Creator and Lord, coming to pride, were changed from grace to malice and hurled from heaven to hell. And so then, to discuss more in detail with the intellect, and then to move the feelings more with the will. Second point. The second is to do the same. That is, to bring the three powers on the sin of Adam and Eve, bringing to memory how on account of that sin they did penance for so long a time, and how much corruption came on the human race, so many people going the way to hell. I say to bring to memory the second sin, that of our first parents, how after Adam was created in the field of Damascus and placed in the terrestrial paradise, and Eve was created from his rib, being forbidden to eat of the tree of knowledge, they ate and so sinned, and afterwards clothed in tunics of skins and cast from paradise, they lived all their life without the original justice which they had lost, and in many labors and much penance, and then to discuss with the understanding more in detail, and to use the will as has been said. Third point. The third is likewise to do the same on the third particular sin of any one who for one mortal sin is gone to hell, and many others without number, for fewer sins than I have committed. I say to do the same on the third particular sin, bringing to memory the gravity and malice of the sin against one's Creator and Lord, to discuss with the understanding how in sinning and acting against the infinite goodness, he has been justly condemned forever, and to finish with the will, as has been said. Colloquy. Imagining Christ our Lord present and placed on the cross, let me make a colloquy, how from Creator he has come to making himself man, and from life eternal is come to temporal death, and so to die for my sins. Likewise, looking at myself, what I have done for Christ, what I am doing for Christ, what I ought to do for Christ, and so, seeing him such, and so nailed on the cross, to go over that which will present itself. The colloquy is made, properly speaking, as one friend speaks to another, or as a servant to his master, now asking some grace, now blaming oneself for some misdeed, now communicating one's affairs, and asking advice in them. And let me say, an Our Father. Second exercise, it is a meditation on the sins and contains in it, after the preparatory prayer and two preludes, 5 points and one colloquy. Prayer. Let the preparatory prayer be the same. First prelude. The first prelude will be the same composition. Second prelude. The second is to ask for what I want. It will be here to beg a great and intense sorrow and tears for my sins. First point. The first point is the statement of the sins, that is to say, to bring to memory all the sins of life, looking from year to year or from period to period. For this, three things are helpful. First, to look at the place and the house where I have lived. Second, the relations I have had with others. Third, the occupation in which I have lived. Second point. The second, to weigh the sins, looking at the foulness and the malice which any mortal sin committed has in it, even supposing it were not forbidden. Third point. The third, to look at who I am, lessening myself by examples. First, how much I am in comparison to all men. Second, what men are in comparison to all the angels and saints of paradise. Third, what all creation is in comparison to God. Then, I alone, what can I be? Fourth, to see all my bodily corruption and foulness. Fifth, to look at myself as a sore and ulcer, from which have sprung so many sins and so many iniquities, and so very vile poison. Fourth point. The fourth, to consider what God is, against whom I have sinned, according to his attributes, comparing them with their contraries in me, his wisdom with my ignorance, his omnipotence with my weakness, his justice with my iniquity, his goodness with my malice. Fifth point. The fifth, an exclamation of wonder with deep feeling, going through all creatures, how they have left me in life and preserved me in it, the angels, how, though they are the sword of the divine justice, they have endured me and guarded me and prayed for me, the saints, how they have been engaged in interceding and praying for me, and the heavens, sun, moon, stars and elements, fruits, birds, fishes and animals, and the earth, how it is not open to swallow me up, creating new hells for me to suffer in them forever. Colloquy. Let me finish with a colloquy of mercy, pondering and giving thanks to God our Lord that he has given me life up to now, proposing amendment with his grace for the future. Our Father. Third exercise. It is a repetition of the first and second exercise, making three colloquies. After the preparatory prayer and two preludes, it will be to repeat the first and second exercise, marking and dwelling on the points in which I have felt greater consolation or desolation or greater spiritual feeling. After this, I will make three colloquies in the following manner. First colloquy. The first colloquy to Our Lady, that she may get me grace from her Son and Lord for three things. First, that I may feel an interior knowledge of my sins and hatred of them. Second, that I may feel the disorder of my actions, so that, hating them, I may correct myself and put myself in order. Third, to ask knowledge of the world, in order that, hating it, I may put away from me worldly and vain things. And with that, a Hail Mary. Second colloquy. The second. The same to the Son, begging him to get it for me from the Father, and with that, the soul of Christ. Third colloquy. The third. The same to the Father, that the eternal Lord himself may grant it to me, and with that, an Our Father. Fourth exercise. It is a summary of this same third. I said a summary, that the understanding, without wandering, may assiduously go through the memory of the things contemplated in the preceding exercises. I will make the same three colloquies. Fifth exercise. It is a meditation on hell. It contains in it, after the preparatory prayer and two preludes, 5 points and one colloquy, prayer. Let the preparatory prayer be the usual one. First, prelude. The first prelude is the composition, which is here to see with the sight of the imagination the length, breadth, and depth of hell. Second prelude. The second, to ask for what I want. It will be here to ask for interior sense of the pain which the damned suffer, in order that, if through my faults I should forget the love of the eternal Lord, at least the fear of the pains may help me not to come into sin. First point. The first point will be to see with the sight of the imagination the great fires, and the souls as in bodies of fire. Second point. The second, to hear with the ears wailings, howlings, cries, blasphemies against Christ our Lord and against all his saints. Third point. The third, to smell with the smell smoke, sulfur, dregs, and putrid things. Fourth point. The fourth, to taste with the taste bitter things like tears, sadness, and the worm of conscience. Fifth point. The fifth, to touch with the touch, that is to say, how the fires touch and burn the souls. Colloquy. Making a colloquy to Christ our Lord, I will bring to memory the souls that are in hell, some because they did not believe the coming, others because, believing, they did not act according to his commandments, making three divisions, first, second, and third divisions, the first before the coming, the second during his life, the third after his life in this world. And with this I will give him thanks that he has not let me fall into any of these divisions, ending my life. Likewise, I will consider how up to now he has always had so great pity and mercy on me. I will end with an Our Father. Note, the first exercise will be made at midnight, the second immediately on rising in the morning, the third before or after Mass, in any case before dinner, the fourth at the hour of Vespers, the fifth, an hour before supper. This arrangement of hours, more or less, I always mean in all the 4 weeks, according as his age, disposition, and physical condition help the person who is exercising himself to make 5 exercises or fewer. Additions. To make the exercises better and to find better what one desires. First addition. The first addition is, after going to bed, just when I want to go asleep, to think, for the space of a Hail Mary, of the hour that I have to rise and for what, making a resume of the exercise which I have to make. Second addition. The second. When I wake up, not giving place to any other thought, to turn my attention immediately to what I'm going to contemplate in the first exercise, at midnight, bringing myself to confusion for my so many sins, setting examples, as, for instance, if a knight found himself before his king and all his court, ashamed and confused at having much offended him, from whom he had first received many gifts and many favors. In the same way, in the second exercise, making myself a great sinner and in chains, that is to say, going to appear bound as in chains before the supreme eternal judge, taking for an example how prisoners in chains and already deserving death appear before their temporal judge, and I will dress with these thoughts or with others according to the subject matter. Third edition. The third, a step or two before the place where I have to contemplate or meditate, I will put myself standing for the space of an Our Father, my intellect raised on high, considering how God our Lord is looking at me, etc., and will make an act of reverence or humility. Fourth edition. The fourth. To enter on the contemplation now on my knees, now prostrate on the earth, now lying face upwards, now seated, now standing, always intent on seeking what I want. We will attend to two things. The first is that if I find what I want kneeling, I will not pass on, and if prostrate, likewise, etc. The second, in the point in which I find what I want, there I will rest without being anxious to pass on, until I content myself. Fifth edition. The fifth. After finishing the exercise, I will, during the space of a quarter of an hour, seated or walking leisurely, look how it went with me in the contemplation or meditation. And if badly, I will look for the cause from which it proceeds, and having so seen it, will be sorry in order to correct myself in future. And if well, I will give thanks to God our Lord, and will do in like manner another time. Sixth edition. The sixth. Not to want to think on things of pleasure or joy, such as heavenly glory, the resurrection, etc. Because whatever consideration of joy and gladness hinders our feeling pain and grief and shedding tears for our sins, but to keep before me that I want to grieve and feel pain, bringing to memory rather death and judgment. Seventh edition. The seventh. For the same end, to deprive myself of all light, closing the blinds and doors while I am in the room, if it be not to recite prayers, to read and eat. Eighth edition. The eighth, not to laugh nor say a thing provocative of laughter. Ninth edition. The ninth, to restrain my sight, except in receiving or dismissing the person with whom I have spoken. Tenth edition. The tenth edition is penance. This is divided into interior and exterior. The interior is to grieve for one's sins, with a firm purpose of not committing them, nor any others. The exterior, or fruit of the first, is chastisement for the sins committed, and is chiefly taken in three ways. First way. The first is as to eating. That is to say, when we leave off the superfluous, it is not penance, but temperance. It is penance when we leave off from the suitable. And the more and more, the greater and better, provided that the person does not injure himself, and that no notable illness follows. Second way, the second, as to the manner of sleeping. Here too it is not penance to leave off the superfluous or delicate or soft things, but it is penance when one leaves off from the suitable in the manner, and the more and more, the better, provided that the person does not injure himself and no notable illness follows. Besides, let not anything of the suitable sleep be left off, unless in order to come to the mean, if one has a bad habit of sleeping too much. Third way. The third, to chastise the flesh, that is, giving it sensible pain, which is given by wearing haircloth or cords or iron chains next to the flesh, by scourging or wounding oneself, and by other kinds of austerity. Note, what appears most suitable and most secure with regard to penance is that the pain should be sensible in the flesh and not enter within the bones so that it give pain and not illness. For this it appears to be more suitable to scourge oneself with thin cords which give pain exteriorly rather than in another way which would cause notable illness within. First note. The first note is that the exterior penances are done chiefly for three ends. First, as satisfaction for the sins committed. Second, to conquer oneself, that is, to make sensuality obey reason and all inferior parts be more subject to the superior. Third, to seek and find some grace or gift which the person wants and desires. As, for instance, if he desires to have interior contrition for his sins or to weep much over them or over the pains and sufferings which Christ our Lord suffered in his passion or to settle some doubt in which the person finds himself. Second note. The second. It is to be noted that the first and second edition have to be made for the exercises of midnight and at daybreak, but not for those which will be made at other times, and the fourth edition will never be made in church in the presence of others, but in private, as at home, etc. Third note. The third. When the person who is exercising himself does not yet find what he desires, as tears, consolations, etc., it often helps for him to make a change in food, in sleep, and in other ways of doing penance, so that he change himself, doing penance 2 or 3 days, and 2 or 3 others not. For it suits some to do more penance and others less, and we often omit doing penance from sensual love and from an erroneous judgment that the human system will not be able to bear it without notable illness. And sometimes, on the contrary, we do too much, thinking that the body can bear it. And as God our Lord knows our nature infinitely better, often in such changes he gives each one to perceive what is suitable for him. Fourth note. The fourth, let the particular exam be made to rid oneself of defects and negligences on the exercises and additions, and so in the second, third, and fourth weeks. Second week. The call of the temporal king. It helps to contemplate the life of the king eternal. Prayer. Let the preparatory prayer be the usual one. First prelude. The first prelude is a composition, seeing the place. It will be here to see with the sight of the imagination, the synagogues, 5 villages and towns through which Christ our Lord preached. Second prelude. The second, to ask for the grace which I want. It will be here to ask grace of our Lord that I may not be deaf to his call, but ready and diligent to fulfill his most holy will. First point. The first point is to put before me a human king chosen by God our Lord, whom all Christian princes and men reverence and obey. Second point. The second, to look how this king speaks to all his people, saying, "It is my will to conquer all the land of unbelievers. Therefore, whoever would like to come with me is to be content to eat as I, and also to drink and dress, etc., as I. Likewise, he is to labor like me 6 in the day and watch in the night, etc., that so afterwards he may have part with me in the victory as he has had it in the labors." Third point. The third, to consider what the good subjects ought to answer to a king so liberal and so kind, and hence, if anyone did not accept the appeal of such a king, how deserving he would be of being censured by all the world and held for a mean-spirited knight. In part 2. The second part of this exercise consists in applying the above parable of the temporal king to Christ our Lord, conformably to the 3 points mentioned. First point. And as to the first point, if we consider such a call of the temporal king to his subjects, how much more worthy of consideration is it to see Christ our Lord, King eternal, and before him all the entire world, which, and each one in particular, he calls and says, "It is my will to conquer all the world and all enemies, and so to enter into the glory of my Father. Therefore, whoever would like to come with me is to labor with me, that following me in the pain, he may also follow me in the glory." Second point. The second, to consider that all those who have judgment and reason will offer their entire selves to the labor. Third point. The third, those who will want to be more devoted and signalize themselves in all service of their King, eternal and universal Lord, not only will offer their persons to the labor, but even, acting against their own sensuality and against their carnal and worldly love, will make offerings of greater value and greater importance, saying, "Eternal Lord of all things, I make my oblation with thy favor and help, in presence of thy infinite goodness, and in presence of thy glorious mother and of all the saints of the heavenly court, that I want and desire, and it is my deliberate determination, if only it be thy greater service and praise, to imitate thee in bearing all injuries and all abuse and all poverty of spirit, and actual poverty too, if thy most holy majesty wants to choose and receive me to such life and state." First note. This exercise will be made 2x in the day, namely, in the morning on rising and an hour before dinner or before supper. Second note. For the second week, and so on, it is very helpful to read at intervals in the books of the Imitation of Christ, or of the Gospels, and of Lives of Saints, the first day and first contemplation. It is on the Incarnation and contains the preparatory prayer, three preludes, 3 points, and one colloquy. Prayer, the usual preparatory prayer, first prelude. The first prelude is to bring up the narrative of the thing which I have to contemplate. Here, it is how the three divine persons looked at all the plane or circuit of all the world, full of men, and how, seeing that all were going down to hell, it is determined in their eternity. 7. That the second person shall become man to save the human race, and so, the fullness of times being come. 8. They sent the angel Saint Gabriel to Our Lady. Page 133. Second prelude, the second, a composition, seeing the place. Here it will be to see the great capacity and circuit of the world, in which are so many and such different people. Then likewise, in particular, the house and rooms of Our Lady in the city of Nazareth, in the province of Galilee. Third prelude. The third, to ask for what I want. It will be to ask for interior knowledge of the Lord, who for me has become man, that I may more love and follow him. Note. It is well to note here that this same preparatory prayer, without changing it, as was said in the beginning, and the same three preludes, are to be made in this week and in the others following, changing the form according to the subject matter. First point. The first point is to see the various persons, and first those on the surface of the earth, in such variety, in dress as in actions, some white and others black, some in peace and others in war, some weeping and others laughing, some well, others ill, some being born and others dying, etc. 2. To see and consider the three divine persons, as on their royal throne or seat of their divine majesty, how they look on all the surface and circuit of the earth and all the people in such blindness, and how they are dying and going down to hell. 3. To see Our Lady and the angel who is saluting her, and to reflect in order to get profit from such a sight. Second point. The second, to hear what the persons on the face of the earth are saying, that is, how they are talking with one another, how they swear and blaspheme, etc. And likewise, what the divine persons are saying, that is, let us work the redemption of the human race, etc. And then what the angel and Our Lady are saying, and to reflect then, so as to draw profit from their words. Third point. The third, to look then at what the persons on the face of the earth are doing, as, for instance, killing, going to hell, etc., likewise what the divine persons are doing, namely working out the most holy incarnation, etc., and likewise what the angel and Our Lady are doing, namely the angel doing his duty as ambassador, and Our Lady humbling herself and giving thanks to the divine majesty, and then to reflect in order to draw some profit from each of these things. Colloquy. At the end, a colloquy is to be made, thinking what I ought to say to the three divine persons, or to the eternal Word incarnate, or to our Mother and Lady, asking according to what I feel in me, in order more to follow and imitate our Lord. So lately incarnate, I will say an Our Father. The second contemplation, ISON, the Nativity. Prayer. The usual preparatory prayer. First, prelude. The first prelude is the narrative, and it will be here how Our Lady went forth from Nazareth, about 9 months with child, as can be piously meditated, 9 seated on an ass, and accompanied by Joseph and a maid, taking an ox, to go to Bethlehem to pay the tribute which Caesar imposed on all those lands, page 135. Second prelude. The second, a composition, seeing the place. It will be here to see with the sight of the imagination the road from Nazareth to Bethlehem, considering the length and the breadth, and whether such road is level or through valleys or over hills. Likewise, looking at the place or cave of the Nativity, 10 how large, how small, how low, how high, and how it was prepared. Third prelude. The third will be the same, and in the same form, as in the preceding contemplation. First point. The first point is to see the persons, that is, to see Our Lady and Joseph and the maid, and after his birth, the child Jesus. I making myself a poor creature and a wretch of an unworthy slave, looking at them and serving them in their needs with all possible respect and reverence, as if I found myself present. and then to reflect on myself in order to draw some profit. Second point. The second, to look, mark, and contemplate what they are saying, and reflecting on myself, to draw some profit. Third point. The third, to look and consider what they are doing as going a journey and laboring, that the Lord may be born in the greatest poverty, and as a termination of so many labors, of hunger, of thirst, of heat, and of cold, of injuries and affronts, that he may die on the cross, and all this for me, then reflecting, to draw some spiritual profit. Colloquy. I will finish with a colloquy as in the preceding contemplation, and with an Our Father. The third contemplation will be a repetition of the first and second exercise. After the preparatory prayer and the three preludes, the repetition of the first and second exercise will be made, noting always some more principal parts, where the person has felt some knowledge, consolation, or desolation, making likewise one colloquy at the end, and saying an Our Father. In this repetition, and in all the following, the same order of proceeding will be taken as was taken in the repetitions of the first week, changing the matter and keeping the form. The fourth contemplation will be a repetition of the first and second, in the same way as was done in the above-mentioned repetition. The fifth contemplation will be to bring the five senses on the first and second contemplation, prayer. After the preparatory prayer and the three preludes, it is helpful to pass the five senses of the imagination through the first and second contemplation in the following way. First point. The first point is to see the persons with the sight of the imagination, meditating and contemplating in particular the details about them, and drawing some profit from the sight. Second point. The second, to hear with the hearing what they are or might be, talking about and reflecting on oneself, to draw some profit from it. Third point. The third, to smell and to taste with the smell and the taste, the infinite fragrance and sweetness of the divinity, of the soul and of its virtues, and of all according to the person who is being contemplated, reflecting on oneself and drawing profit from it. Fourth point. The fourth, to touch with the touch, as for instance, to embrace and kiss the places where such persons put their feet and sit, always seeing to my drawing profit from it. Colloquy. One has to finish with one colloquy as in the first and second contemplation and with an Our Father. First note. The first note is to remark for all this in the other following weeks, that I have only to read the mystery of the contemplation which I have immediately to make, so that at any time I read no mystery which I have not to make that day or at that hour, in order that the consideration of one mystery may not hinder the consideration of the other. Second note. The second. The first exercise on the Incarnation will be made at midnight, the second at dawn, the third at the hour of Mass, the fourth at the hour of Vespers, and the fifth before the hour of supper, being for the space of 1 hour in each one of the five exercises, and the same order will be taken in all the following. Third note. The third. It is to be remarked that if the person who is making the exercises is old or weak, or, although strong, has become in some way less strong from the first week, it is better for him in this second week, at least sometimes, not rising at midnight, to make one contemplation in the morning, and another at the hour of Mass, and another before dinner, and one repetition on them at the hour of Vespers, and then the application of the senses before supper. Fourth note. The fourth. In this second week, out of all the 10 editions which were mentioned in the first week, the second, the sixth, the seventh, and in part the 10th have to be changed. In the second, it will be, immediately on waking up, to put before me the contemplation which I have to make, desiring to know more the eternal Word incarnate in order to serve and to follow Him more. The sixth will be to bring frequently to memory the life and mysteries of Christ our Lord, from His incarnation down to the place or mystery which I am engaged in contemplating. The seventh will be that one should manage as to keeping darkness or light, making use of good weather or bad, according as he feels that it can profit and help him to find what the person desires who is exercising himself. And in the 10th edition, He who is exercising himself ought to manage himself according to the mysteries which he is contemplating, because some demand penance and others not. All the 10 additions, then, are to be made with great care. Fifth note. The fifth note. In all the exercises, except in that of midnight and in that of the morning, the equivalent of the second addition will be taken in the following way. Immediately on recollecting that it is the time of the exercise which I have to make before I go, putting before myself where I am going and before whom, and summarizing a little the exercise which I have to make, and then making the third addition, I will enter into the exercise. The second day. Second day. For first and second contemplation to take the presentation in the temple, page 137, and the flight to Egypt as into exile, page 138, and on these two contemplations will be made two repetitions and the application of the five senses to them, in the same way as was done the preceding day. Note. Sometimes, although the one who is exercising himself is strong and disposed, it helps to make a change, from the second day up to the fourth inclusively, in order better to find what he desires, taking only one contemplation at daybreak and another at the hour of Mass, and to repeat on them at the hour of Vespers and apply the senses before supper. The third day. Third day. How the child Jesus was obedient to his parents at Nazareth, page 139, and how afterwards they found him in the temple, page 140. And so then to make the two repetitions and apply the five senses. Preamble to consider states. First preamble. The example which Christ our Lord, being under obedience to his parents, has given us for the first state, which consists in the observance of the commandments, having been now considered, and likewise for the second, which is that of evangelical perfection, when he remained in the temple, leaving his adoptive father and his natural mother, to attend to the pure service of his eternal Father, we will begin at the same time contemplating his life, to investigate and to ask in what life or state his divine majesty wants to be served by us. And so, for some introduction of it, we will, in the first exercise following, see the intention of Christ our Lord, and on the contrary, that of the enemy of human nature, and how we ought to dispose ourselves in order to come to perfection in whatever state of life God our Lord would give us to choose. The fourth day. Meditation on two standards, the one of Christ, our commander-in-chief and Lord, the other of Lucifer, mortal enemy of our human nature. Prayer. The usual preparatory prayer. First prelude. The first prelude is the narrative. It will be here how Christ calls and wants all under his standard, and Lucifer, on the contrary, under his. Second prelude. The second, a composition, seeing the place. It will be here to see a great field of all that region of Jerusalem, where the supreme commander-in-chief of the good is Christ our Lord. Another field in the region of Babylon, where the chief of the enemy is Lucifer. Third prelude. The third. To ask for what I want. And it will be here to ask for knowledge of the deceits of the bad chief, and help to guard myself against them, and for knowledge of the true life which the supreme and true captain shows, and grace to imitate him. First point. The first point is to imagine as if the chief of all the enemy seated himself in that great field of Babylon, as in a great 11 chair of fire and smoke, in shape horrible and terrifying. Second point. The second, to consider how he issues a summons to innumerable demons, and how he scatters them, some to one city and others to another, and so through all the world, not omitting any provinces, places, states, nor any persons in particular. Third point. The third, to consider the discourse which he makes them, and how he tells them to cast out nets and chains, that they have first to tempt with a longing for riches, as he is accustomed to do in most cases 12, that men may more easily come to vain honor of the world and then to vast pride, so that the first step shall be that of riches, the second, that of honor, the third, that of pride, and from these three steps he draws on to all the other vices. So, on the contrary, one has to imagine as to the supreme and true captain, who is Christ our Lord. First point. The first point is to consider how Christ our Lord puts himself in a great field of that region of Jerusalem, in lowly place, beautiful and attractive. Second point. The second, to consider how the Lord of all the world chooses so many persons, apostles, disciples, etc., and sends them through all the world, spreading his sacred doctrine through all states and conditions of persons. Third point. The third, to consider the discourse which Christ our Lord makes to all his servants and friends whom he sends on this expedition, recommending them to want to help all by bringing them first to the highest spiritual poverty, and, if his divine majesty would be served and would want to choose them, no less to actual poverty. The second is to be of contumely and contempt, because from these two things humility follows. So that there are to be three steps. The first, poverty against riches. The second, contumely or contempt against worldly honor. The third, humility against pride. And from these three steps, let them induce to all the other virtues. First Colloquy. One colloquy to Our Lady, that she may get me grace from her Son and Lord, that I may be received under his standard, and first in the highest spiritual poverty, and, if his divine majesty would be served and would want to choose and receive me, not less in actual poverty. Second, in suffering contumely and injuries, to imitate him more in them, if only I can suffer them without the sin of any person or displeasure of his divine majesty. And with that, a Hail Mary. Second Colloquy. I will ask the same of the Son, that he may get it for me of the Father, and with that say, the soul of Christ. Third Colloquy. I will ask the same of the Father, that he may grant it to me, and say, an Our Father. Note. This exercise will be made at midnight and then a second time in the morning, and two repetitions of this same will be made at the hour of Mass and at the hour of Vespers, always finishing with the three colloquies, to Our Lady, to the Son, and to the Father, and that on the pairs which follows, at the hour before supper. The same fourth day let meditation be made on. Three pairs of men, in order to embrace what is best, prayer, the usual preparatory prayer, first prelude. The first prelude is the narrative, which is of three pairs of men, and each one of them has acquired 10,000 ducats, not solely or as they ought 13 for God's love, and all want to save themselves and find in peace God our Lord, ridding themselves of the weight and hindrance to it which they have in the attachment for the thing acquired. Second prelude. The second, a composition, seeing the place, it will be here to see myself, how I stand before God our Lord and all his saints, to desire and know what is more pleasing to his divine goodness. Third prelude. The third, to ask for what I want. Here it will be to ask grace to choose what is more to the glory of his divine majesty and the salvation of my soul. First pair. The first pair would want to rid themselves of the attachment which they have to the thing acquired, in order to find in peace God our Lord and be able to save themselves, and they do not place the means up to the hour of death. Second pair. The second want to rid themselves of the attachment, but want so to rid themselves of it as to remain with the thing acquired, so that God should come where they want, and they do not decide to leave it in order to go to God, although it would be the best state for them. Third pair. The third want to rid themselves of the attachment, but want so to rid themselves of it that they have even no liking for it, to keep the thing acquired or not to keep it, but only want to want it or not want it, according as God our Lord will put in their will, and as will appear to them better for the service and praise of his divine majesty. And meanwhile, they want to reckon that they quitted all in attachment, forcing themselves not to want that or any other thing, unless only the service of God our Lord move them, so that the desire of being better able to serve God our Lord moves them to take the thing or leave it. Three colloquies. I will make the same three colloquies which were made in the contemplation preceding on the two standards. Note, it is to be noted that when we feel a tendency or repugnance against actual poverty, when we are not indifferent to poverty or riches, it is very helpful, in order to crush such disordered tendency, to ask in the colloquies although it be against the flesh, that the Lord should choose one to actual poverty, and that one wants, asks, and begs it, if only it be the service and praise of His divine goodness. The fifth day. Fifth day. Contemplation on the departure of Christ our Lord from Nazareth to the River Jordan, and how He was baptized, page 140. First note. This contemplation will be made once at midnight and a second time in the morning, and two repetitions on it at the hour of Mass and Vespers, and the five senses will be applied on it before supper. In each of these five exercises, putting first the usual preparatory prayer and the three preludes, as all this was explained in the contemplation of the Incarnation and of the Nativity, and finishing with the three colloquies of the three pairs, or according to the note which follows after the pairs. Second note. The particular exam, after dinner and after supper, will be made on the faults and negligences about the exercises and additions of this day, and so in the days that follow. The sixth day, sixth day. Contemplation. How Christ our Lord went forth from the River Jordan to the desert inclusive, taking the same form in everything as on the fifth. The seventh day, seventh day. How St. Andrew and others followed Christ our Lord, page 142. The eighth day, eighth day. On the Sermon on the Mount, which is on the Eight Beatitudes, page 144. The ninth day, ninth day. How Christ our Lord appeared to His disciples on the waves of the sea, page 145. The tenth day, tenth day. How the Lord preached in the 14th temple, page 151. The 11th day, 11th day. On the raising of Lazarus, page 149. The 12th day, 12th day. On Palm Sunday, page 151. First note. The first note is that in the contemplations of this second week, according to the time each one wants to spend, or according as he gets profit, he can lengthen or shorten, if he lengthens, taking the mysteries of the visitation of Our Lady to St. Elizabeth, the shepherds, the circumcision of the child Jesus, and the three kings, and so of others. And if he shortens, he can even omit some of those which are set down, because this is to give an introduction and way to contemplate better and more completely afterwards. Second note. The second, the matter of the elections will be begun from the contemplation on Nazareth to the Jordan, taken inclusively, which is the fifth day, as is explained in the following. Third note. The third, before entering on the elections, that a man may get attachment to the true doctrine of Christ our Lord, it is very helpful to consider and mark the following three manners of humility, reflecting on them occasionally through all the day, and also making the colloquies, as will be said later. First, humility. The first manner of humility is necessary for eternal salvation, namely, that I so lower and so humble myself as much as is possible to me, that in everything I obey the law of God, so that even if they made me Lord of all the created things in this world, nor for my own temporal life, I would not be in deliberation about breaking a commandment, whether divine or human, which binds me under mortal sin. Second, humility. The second is more perfect humility than the first, namely, if I find myself at such a stage that I do not want and feel no inclination to have riches rather than poverty, to want honor rather than dishonor, to desire a long rather than a short life, the service of God our Lord, and the salvation of my soul being equal. And so not for all creation, nor because they would take away my life, would I be in deliberation about committing a venial sin. Third, humility. The third is most perfect humility, namely, when, including the first and second, and the praise and glory of the divine majesty being equal, in order to imitate and be more actually like Christ our Lord, I want and choose poverty with Christ poor rather than riches, opprobrium with Christ replete with it rather than honors, and to desire to be rated as worthless and a fool for Christ, who first was held as such, rather than wise or prudent in this world. Note, so it is very helpful for whoever desires to get this third humility, to make the three already mentioned colloquies of the pairs, asking that our Lord would be pleased to choose him to this third greater and better humility, in order more to imitate and serve him, if it be equal or greater service and praise to his divine majesty. Prelude for making election. First point. In every good election, as far as depends on us, the eye of our intention ought to be simple, only looking at what we are created for, namely the praise of God our Lord and the salvation of our soul. And so I ought to choose whatever I do, that it may help me for the end for which I am created, not ordering or bringing the end to the means, but the means to the end. As it happens that many choose first to marry, which is a means, and secondarily to serve God our Lord in the married life, which service of God is the end. So too there are others who first want to have benefices, and then to serve God in them. So that those do not go straight to God, but want God to come straight to their disordered tendencies, and consequently they make a means of the end, and an end of the means, so that what they had to take first, they take last, because first we have to set as our aim the wanting to serve God, which is the end, and secondarily, to take a benefice or to marry, if it is more suitable to us, which is the means for the end. So, nothing ought to move me to take such means or to deprive myself of them, except only the service and praise of God our Lord and the eternal salvation of my soul. To get knowledge as to what matters in election ought to be made about, and it contains 4 points and 1 note. First point. The first point, it is necessary that everything about which we want to make an election should be indifferent or good in itself, and should be allowed within our Holy Mother, the hierarchical Church, and not bad nor opposed to her. Second point. Second, there are some things which fall under unchangeable election, such as are the priesthood, marriage, etc. There are others which fall under an election that can be changed, such as are to take benefices or leave them, to take temporal goods or rid oneself of them. Third point. Third, in the unchangeable election which has already been once made, such as marriage, the priesthood, etc., there is nothing more to choose, because one cannot release himself. Only it is to be seen to that if one have not made his election duly and ordinately, and without disordered tendencies, repenting, let him see to living a good life in his election. It does not appear that this election is a divine vocation, 15 as being an election out of order and awry. Many err in this, setting up a perverse or bad election as a divine 16 vocation. For every divine vocation is always pure and clear, without mixture of flesh or of any other inordinate tendency. Fourth point. Fourth. If someone has duly and ordinately made election of things which are under election that can be changed, and has not yielded to flesh or world, there is no reason for his making election anew, but let him perfect himself as much as he can in that already chosen. Note, it is to be remarked that if such election that can be changed was not made sincerely and well in order, then it helps to make the election duly, if one has a desire that fruits notable and very pleasing to God our Lord should come from him. Three times. For making, in any one of them, a sound and good election, first time. The first time is when God our Lord so moves and attracts the will that without doubting or being able to doubt, such devout soul follows what is shown it, as St. Paul and St. Matthew did in following Christ our Lord. Second time. The second, when enough light and knowledge is received by experience of consolations and desolations, and by the experience of the discernment of various spirits. Third time. The third time is quiet when one considers first for what man is born, namely to praise God our Lord and save his soul, and desiring this chooses as means a life or state within the limits of the Church, in order that he may be helped in the service of his Lord and the salvation of his soul. I said time of quiet, when the soul is not acted on by various spirits, and uses its natural powers freely and tranquilly. If election is not made in the first or the second time, 2 ways follow as to this third time for making it. The first way, to make a sound and good election. It contains 6 points. First point. The first point is to put before me the thing on which I want to make election, such as an office or benefice, either to take or leave it, or any other thing whatever which falls under an election that can be changed. Second point. Second, it is necessary to keep as aim the end for which I am created, which is to praise God our Lord and save my soul, and, this supposed, to find myself indifferent without any inordinate propensity, so that I be not more inclined or disposed to take the thing proposed than to leave it, nor more to leave it than to take it, but find myself as in the middle of a balance, to follow what I feel to be more for the glory and praise of God our Lord and the salvation of my soul. Third point. Third, to ask of God our Lord to be pleased to move my will and put in my soul what I ought to do regarding the thing proposed, so as to promote more his praise and glory, discussing well and faithfully with my intellect, and choosing agreeably to his most holy pleasure and will. Fourth point. Fourth, to consider, reckoning up, how many advantages and utilities follow for me from holding the proposed office or benefice for only the praise of God our Lord and the salvation of my soul, and to consider likewise, on the contrary, the disadvantages and dangers which there are in having it. Doing the same in the second part, that is, looking at the advantages and utilities there are in not having it, and likewise, on the contrary, the disadvantages and dangers in not having the same. Fifth point. Fifth, after I have thus discussed and reckoned up on all sides about the thing proposed, to look where reason more inclines. And so, according to the greater inclination of reason, and not according to any inclination of sense, deliberation should be made on the thing proposed. Sixth point. Sixth, such election or deliberation made, the person who has made it ought to go with much diligence to prayer before God our Lord and offer him such election that his divine majesty may be pleased to receive and confirm it if it is to his greater service and praise. The second way, to make a good any sound election. It contains four rules and one note. First rule. The first is that love which moves me and makes me choose such thing should descend from above, from the love of God, so that he who chooses feel first in himself that love, more or less, which he has for the thing which he chooses, is only for his Creator and Lord. Second rule. The second, to set before me a man whom I have never seen nor known, and I, 17, desiring all his perfection, to consider what I would tell him to do and elect for the greater glory of God our Lord and the greater perfection of his soul, and I, doing likewise, to keep the rule which I set for the other. Third rule. The third, to consider, as if I were at the point of death, the form and measure which I would then want to have kept in the way of the present election, and regulating myself by that election, let me make my decision in everything. Fourth rule. The fourth, looking and considering how I shall find myself on the day of judgment, to think how I would then want to have 18 deliberated about the present matter, and to take now the rule which I would then wish to have kept, in order that I may then find myself in entire pleasure and joy. Note, the above-mentioned rules for my eternal salvation and peace having been taken, I will make my election and offering to God our Lord, conformably to the sixth point of the first way of making election, to amend and reform one's own life, and state, it is to be noted that as to those who are settled in ecclesiastical office or in matrimony, whether they abound much or not in temporal goods, when they have no opportunity or have not a very prompt will to make election about the things which fall under an election that can be changed, it is very helpful, in place of making election, to give them a form and way to amend and reform each his own life and state, that is, putting his creation, life and state, for the glory and praise of God our Lord and the salvation of his own soul, to come and arrive at this end. He ought to consider much and ponder through the exercises and ways of election, as has been explained, how large a house and household he ought to keep, how he ought to rule and govern it, how he ought to teach and instruct it by word and by example, likewise of his means, how much he ought to take for his household and house, and how much to dispense to the poor and to other pious objects, not wanting nor seeking any other thing except in all and through all the greater praise and glory of God our Lord. For let each one think that he will benefit himself in all spiritual things in proportion as he goes out of his self-love, will, and interest. Third week, first day. The first contemplation at midnight is how Christ our Lord went from Bethany to Jerusalem to the Last Supper inclusively, page 152, and it contains the preparatory prayer, three preludes, 6 points, and one colloquy. Prayer, the usual preparatory prayer, first prelude. The first prelude is to bring to memory the narrative, which is here how Christ our Lord sent two disciples from Bethany to Jerusalem to prepare the supper. And then he himself went there with the other disciples, and how, after having eaten the paschal lamb and having supped, he washed their feet and gave his most holy body and precious blood to his disciples and made them a discourse, after Judas went to sell his Lord. Second prelude. The second, a composition, seeing the place. It will be here to consider the road from Bethany to Jerusalem, whether broad, whether narrow, whether level, etc. Likewise, the place of the supper, whether large, whether small, whether of one kind, or whether of another. Third prelude. The third, to ask for what I want. It will be here grief, feeling, and confusion, because for my sins, the Lord is going to the Passion. First point. The first point is to see the persons of the supper, and reflecting on myself, to see to drawing some profit from them. Second point. The second, to hear what they are talking about, and likewise to draw some profit from it. Third point. The third, to look at what they are doing, and draw some profit. Fourth point. The fourth, to consider that which Christ our Lord is suffering in his humanity, 19 or wants to suffer, according to the passage which is being contemplated, and here to commence with much vehemence, and to force myself to grieve, be sad, and weep, and so to labor through the other points which follow. Fifth point. The fifth, to consider how the divinity hides itself, that is, how it could destroy its enemies and does not do it, and how it leaves the most sacred humanity to suffer so very cruelly. Sixth point. The sixth, to consider how he suffers all this for my sins, etc., and what I ought to do and suffer for him. Colloquy. I will finish with a colloquy to Christ our Lord, and at the end with an Our Father. Note. It is to be noted, as was explained before and in part, that in the colloquies I ought to discuss and ask according to the subject matter, that is, according as I find myself tempted or consoled, and according as I desire to have one virtue or another, as I want to dispose of myself in one direction or another, as I want to grieve or rejoice at the thing which I am contemplating, in fine, asking that which I more efficaciously desire as to any particular things. And in this way, I can make one colloquy only, to Christ our Lord, or, if the matter or devotion move me, three colloquies, one to the Mother, another to the Son, another to the Father, in the same form as was. Said in the second week, in the meditation of the three pairs, with the note which follows the pairs. Second day, second contemplation, in the morning it will be, from the supper to the garden inclusively, prayer. The usual preparatory prayer. First prelude. The first prelude is the narrative, and it will be here how Christ our Lord went down with his 11 disciples from Mount Sion, where he made the supper, to the valley of Josaphat. Leaving the 8 in a part of the valley and the other 3 in a part of the garden, and putting himself in prayer, he sweat as drops of blood, 20, and after he prayed 3 times to the Father and wakened his 3 disciples, and after the enemies at his voice fell down, Judas giving him the kiss of peace, and St. Peter cutting off the ear of Malchus, and Christ putting it in its place. Being taken as a malefactor, they lead him down the valley, and then up the side, to the house of Annas. Second prelude. The second is to see the place. It will be here to consider the road from Mount Sion to the valley of Josaphat, and likewise the garden, whether wide, whether large, whether of one kind, whether of another. Third prelude. The third is to ask for what I want. It belongs to the Passion to ask for grief with Christ in grief, anguish with Christ in anguish, tears and interior pain at such great pain which Christ suffered for me. First note. In this second contemplation, after the preparatory prayer is made, with the three preludes already mentioned, the same form of proceeding will be kept through the points and colloquy as was kept in the first contemplation, on the supper. And at the hour of Mass and Vespers, two repetitions will be made on the first and second contemplation, and then, before supper, the senses will be applied on the two above said contemplations, always prefixing the preparatory prayer and the three preludes, according to the subject matter, in the same form as was said and explained in the second week. Second note. According as age, disposition, and physical condition help the person who is exercising himself, he will make each day the five exercises or fewer. Third note. In this third week, the second and sixth additions will in part be changed. The second will be, immediately on awaking, to set before me where I am going and to what, and summing up a little the contemplation which I want to make, according as the mystery shall be, to force myself, while I am getting up and dressing, to be sad and grieve over such great grief and such great suffering of Christ our Lord. The sixth will be changed, so as not to try to bring joyful thoughts, although good and holy, as, for instance, are those on the resurrection and on heavenly glory, but rather to draw myself to grief and to pain and anguish, bringing to mind frequently the labors, fatigues, and pains of Christ our Lord, which he suffered from the moment when he was born, up to the mystery of the passion in which I find myself at present. Fourth note. The particular exam on the exercises in present editions will be made as it was made in the past week. Second day. The second day at midnight, the contemplation will be from the garden to the house of Annas inclusive, P. 154, and in the morning from the house of Annas to the house of Caiaphas inclusive, P. 154, 155, and then the two repetitions and the application of the senses, as has been already said. Third day. The third day, at midnight, from the house of Caiaphas to Pilate, inclusive, page 155, and in the morning, from Pilate to Herod, inclusive, page 155, 156, and then the repetitions and senses, in the same form as has been already said. Fourth day. The fourth day, at midnight, from Herod to Pilate, page 157, doing and contemplating up to half through the mysteries of the same house of Pilate, and then, in the exercise of the morning, the other mysteries which remained of the same house, and the repetitions in the senses, as has been said. Fifth day. The fifth day, at midnight, from the house of Pilate up to the crucifixion, page 158, and in the morning from his being raised on the cross until he expired, page 158, then the two repetitions and the senses. Sixth day. The sixth day, at midnight, from the descent from the cross to the tomb, exclusive, page 159, and in the morning from the tomb, inclusive, to the house where Our Lady was after her son was buried. Seventh day. The seventh day, a contemplation on the whole passion together in the exercise of midnight and of the morning, and in place of the two repetitions and of the senses, one will consider all that day, as frequently as he can, how the most holy body of Christ our Lord remained separated and apart from the soul, and where and how it remained buried. Likewise, one will consider the loneliness of Our Lady, whose grief and fatigue were so great. Then, on the other side, the loneliness of the disciples. Note. It is to be noted that whoever wants to dwell more on the Passion has to take in each contemplation fewer mysteries. That is to say, in the first contemplation, the supper only. In the second, the washing of the feet. In the third, the giving of the Blessed Sacrament to them. In the fourth, the discourse which Christ made to them, and so through the other contemplations and mysteries. Likewise, after having finished the Passion, let him take for an entire day the half of the whole Passion, and the second day the other half, and the third day the whole Passion. On the contrary, whoever would want to shorten more in the Passion, let him take at midnight the supper, In the morning, the garden, at the hour of Mass, the house of Annas, at the hour of Vespers, the house of Caiaphas, in place of the hour before supper, the house of Pilate, so that, not making repetitions nor the application of the senses, he make each day 5 distinct exercises, and in each exercise take a distinct mystery of Christ our Lord. And after thus finishing the whole Passion, he can, another day, do all the Passion together in one exercise or in different ones, as it will seem to him that he will be better able to help himself. Rules to put oneself in order for the future. As to eating. First rule. The first rule is that it is well to abstain less from bread, because it is not a food as to which the appetite is used to act so inordinately, or to which temptation urges, as in the case of the other foods. Second rule. The second, abstinence appears more convenient as to drinking than as to eating bread. So one ought to look much what is helpful to him in order to admit it, and what does him harm in order to discard it. Third rule. The third, as to foods, one ought to have the greatest and most entire abstinence, because as the appetite is more ready to act inordinately, so temptation is more ready in making trial on this head. And so abstinence in foods to avoid disorder can be kept in 2 ways. One, by accustoming oneself to eat coarse foods. The other, if one takes delicate foods, by taking them in small quantity. Fourth rule. The fourth, guarding against falling into sickness, the more a man leaves off from what is suitable, the more quickly he will reach the mean which he ought to keep in his eating and drinking. For 2 reasons. The first, because by so helping and disposing himself, he will many times experience more the interior knowledge, consolations, and divine inspirations to show him the mean which is proper for him. The second, because if the person sees himself in such abstinence, not with so great corporal strength or disposition for the spiritual exercises, he will easily come to judge what is more suitable to his bodily support. Fifth rule. The fifth, while the person is eating, let him consider as if he saw Christ our Lord eating with his apostles, and how he drinks, and how he looks, and how he speaks, and let him see to imitating him, so that the principal part of the intellect shall occupy itself in the consideration of Christ our Lord, and the lesser part in the support of the body, because in this way he will get greater system in order as to how he ought to behave and manage himself. Sixth rule. The sixth. Another time, while he is eating, he can take another consideration, either on the life of saints or on some pious contemplation or on some spiritual affair which he has to do because, being intent on such thing, he will take less delight in feeling in the corporal food. Seventh rule. The seventh. Above all, let him guard against all his soul, being intent on what he is eating, and in eating let him not go hurriedly through appetite, but be master of himself, as well in the manner of eating as in the quantity which he eats. Eighth rule. The eighth. To avoid disorder, it is very helpful, after dinner or after supper, or at another hour when one feels no appetite for eating, to decide with oneself for the coming dinner or supper, and so on, each day, the quantity which it is suitable that he should eat. Beyond this, let him not go because of any appetite or temptation, but rather, in order to conquer more all inordinate appetite and temptation of the enemy, if he is tempted to eat more, let him eat less. Fourth week, the first contemplation, How Christ our Lord Appeared to Our Lady, page 160. Prayer, the usual preparatory prayer, first prelude. The first prelude is the narrative, which is here how, after Christ expired on the cross and the body, always united with the divinity, remained separated from the soul, the blessed soul, likewise united with the divinity, went down to hell, and taking from there the just souls, and coming to the sepulchre, and being risen, he appeared to his blessed mother in body and in soul. Second prelude. The second, a composition, seeing the place, which will be here to see the arrangement of the Holy Sepulchre and the place or house of Our Lady, looking at its parts in particular, likewise, the room, the oratory, etc. Third prelude. The third, to ask for what I want, and it will be here to ask for grace to rejoice and be glad intensely at so great glory and joy of Christ our Lord. First point, second point, and third point. Let the first, second, and third points be the same usual ones which we took in the supper of Christ our Lord. Fourth point. The fourth, to consider how the divinity, which seemed to hide itself in the Passion, now appears and shows itself so marvelously in the most holy resurrection by its true and most holy effects. Fifth point. The fifth is to consider the office of consoling which Christ our Lord bears, and to compare how friends are accustomed to console friends. Colloquy. I will finish with a colloquy, or colloquies, according to the subject matter, and an Our Father. First note. In the following contemplations, let one go on through all the mysteries of the resurrection, in the manner which follows below, up to the ascension inclusive, taking and keeping in the rest the same form and manner in all the week of the resurrection which was taken in all the week of the Passion. So that, for this first contemplation on the resurrection, let one guide himself as to the preludes according to the subject matter, and as to the 5 points, let them be the same, and let the additions which are below be the same, and so in all which remains he can guide himself by the method of the week of the Passion, as in repetitions, the 5 senses, in shortening or lengthening the mysteries. Second note. The second note. Commonly in this 4th week, it is more suitable than in the other 3 past to make 4 exercises, and not 5. The first, immediately on rising in the morning. The second, at the hour of Mass or before dinner, in place of the 1st repetition. The third, at the hour of Vespers, in place of the 2nd repetition. The 4th, before supper, bringing the 5 senses on the 3 exercises of the same day, noting and lingering on the more principal parts and where one has felt greater spiritual movements and relish. Third note. The third. Though in all the contemplations so many points were given in certain number, as 3 or 5, etc., the person who is contemplating can set more or fewer points, according as he finds it better for him, for which it is very helpful, before entering on the contemplation, to conjecture and mark in certain number the points which he is to take. Fourth note. In this 4th week, in all the 10 additions, the 2nd, the 6th, the 7th, and the 10th are to be changed. The 2nd will be, immediately on awaking, to put before me the contemplation which I have to make, wanting to arouse feeling and be glad at the great joy and gladness of Christ our Lord. The 6th, to bring to memory and think of things that move to spiritual pleasure, gladness and joy, as of heavenly glory. The 7th, to use light or temporal comforts, as in summer the coolness, and in winter the sun or heat, as far as the soul thinks or conjectures that it can help it to be joyful in its Creator and Redeemer.